This is Pure Decking for Thursday, July? It's hot outside. How about that? 21st, 2018, I think? I'm not even clear what year it is. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, pointing out how rigged the game is. And by the way, the Steam Summer Sale is on and literally nothing in there interests me. Like, that's not even a joke. I'm looking at it, and I'm just like, this is it now? What the fuck happened to PC gaming? I'm Morps. Tonight, I'm drinking Old Forester 1920. And we have Are You? What are you up to?
I'm drinking a large glass of watching European Union go down the fucking drain.
Interesting and amusing. We have Syntax doing his best Darth Vader impression. What are you up to, Syntax?
Is my microphone way too close to my face again?
Well, we've been hearing you moan and grunt, and I wasn't certain if you found a new use for the CD-ROM tray or not.
Oh, well, I mean, no, that's an old use. That's definitely an old use for my CD-ROM tray. But I did find a power adapter, so I'm not going to just randomly fall off any more than normal. And I'm drinking Newcastle and eating bonbons, like homemade little chocolate bonbons. They're fucking amazing.
Cool. And finally, Madman is also here.
Yes, I'm still here. I'm alive.
Yeah.
I have no sake, and since we're discussing food, I'm eating burgoo. Good luck figuring out what that is.
I have the internet.
Burgoo, that's what happens when you take a bird and put it into a blender and you get the goo out of it?
Yes.
No, fugu is pufferfish.
No.
Not fugu, burgoo.
No, I remember this one now. Mugu Pan Guy, it's a card in Munchkin?
That's everything with potion, powder, or something else in the title.
Oh, it's a pork, beef, chuck, and chicken stew.
This one also has sheep in it.
Okay. It's a favorite in Kentucky Derby because I put it into the Google.
Cheater.
Oh, it's an Irish or mulligan stew, as it were called.
I don't want to admit how long it took me to find that sound effect on my controller. Anyways, luckily the other ones I was trying were all empty, so I didn't fill up all the slots. But anyway,
buying you a label maker for Christmas.
Yeah, you know, if I put the same sound on the same button every week, that might be a way to go.
The funny thing is, Morps would just run out of the little tape that goes in it, because he would label everything else.
Well, my accurate reproduction of the Batcave requires everything to be labeled.
I lived in share houses a lot before I met my wife. And at one house, Nazi woman, she's like, well, if that's your food, you need to label it. So I just went, fuck it. You know, I have that little amount of food in this house. I just went around and labeled everything that wasn't mine, not mine. So I started putting post-it notes everywhere with just the words not mine written on it. Whoa, did she go fucking mental, dudes? But I probably shouldn't have gone into an underwear drawer, to be honest. But,
Well, you know, it's one of these things. One of these things where it's like, no, not mine. And happy it's not mine. Just, you know, we don't want to touch that. I'm just making an assumption based on the way you describe the woman.
Oh, she's an absolute fucking thunder cunt, man.
One of the cock juggling thunder cunts?
Yes.
A cock juggling thunder cunt.
I was stuck in
yes.
I was stuck in traffic on the way home, right? And I'm this is totally based off appearance, right? So, and in a lane catty corner to me was this powder blue Prius with all of the liberal bumper stickers on it, you know, gay rights, California with a rainbow on it, you know, the shape of the state, California with a rainbow on it.
Coexist? Did it have coexist?
Yeah, it had the coexist. It had okay, all of the course. It had all of the bumper stickers. And I'm just like, here in a minute, this lane's going to move, and I'm going to be able to look over to my right, and it's going to be a land whale driving this car. And as much as I would love to be wrong, I was not. It's like, and there's the stereotype. Son of a bitch.
So, funny story about that particular like car, right? So I went on a date, and I get places early because I like to, you know, do a little recon beforehand. I want to make sure that like I see them coming up, because I judge the fuck out of people for what they drive, not just because if they're in like a liberal shit box or they're in like a big truck that has like, you know, these colors don't run and big Confederate flags, right?
So okay, now and to be fair,
the balls on the trailer hitch.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't give a fuck if somebody likes driving a Prius. I don't think that there's any political statement attached to that. But there are people who drive the car for political reasons, and I think they're dumb.
Oh, absolutely. So I'm at this date. You know, Prius comes up, and I'm like, oh, don't be that stereotype, right? Luckily, it wasn't. She matched her pictures that I saw online.
All right, so we didn't get catfished, okay.
Yeah, so I was super excited. And, you know, so then, like, going through the day, she was telling me all about the social justice and the equality and everything, and I'm like, okay, cool. Well, this is going to be extremely boring sex that I'm going to have later. Come to find out, not all of the people who are like, oh yeah, super equality and stuff like that mean everywhere. Sometimes they just want their hair pulled and to be called dirty names in bed.
Well, your story was much more interesting than mine.
You couldn't pay me enough money to have your life syntax.
Why? It's wonderful.
I don't know, man.
I mean, antibiotics get a little expensive from time to time.
No problem for RU. He lives in socialized medicine.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I had really good insurance up until a bit ago, but
if it's just a need for amoxicillin, you can go into a pet store, and they sell shit tons of it for treating fish tanks. You just need to recalculate the dosage for something larger than a guppy.
Yeah.
This is why I'm glad none of you work with children.
See, the problem is I'm allergic to penicillin, so that doesn't work. But they also sell other antibiotics at veterinary supply stores.
You know what? That's as good a place to launch into our opening story. Yeah.
Chemicals in the water.
Yep.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the freaking frogs gay. Do you understand that?
Of course, they always say in the zombie apocalypse, go for the veterinary supplies in the pet stores because they won't be raided like the hospitals and the doctor's offices will. So,
yeah, that's exactly right.
So, leading story tonight's from Gizmodo. Predictably, cheating in school has advanced with time. Students have hacked servers, hit schools with DDoS attacks, and purchased schoolwork on the dark web. And that's enough for that.
You want to be careful, man. CNN's going to fucking poach you real quick.
Hey, if they pay more than my current job and the stress level goes down, then maybe it's worth considering. In an extreme measure to prevent students from leaking high school diploma exams online, Algeria has begun instituting nationwide internet blackouts.
What?
They're literally turning off the entire internet because kids could cheat at school with it.
Okay. This sounds like a company that I once worked for. They were like, wait, people are looking at Facebook. Turn off everything.
The country will turn off mobile and landline internet service across the country for an hour at a time during the exam period, which started on Wednesday and runs through June 25th. The 11 blackouts are scheduled for an hour after each exam begins. In 2016, exam questions were reportedly leaked online, and authorities were dissatisfied with the less stringent attempt to limit social media during the 2017 exams. The sweeping shutdown will also block Facebook for the entirety of the exam period. Education Minister, Nuria Benkhaart told Algerian newspaper Anahar, according to the BBC. Benkhaart reportedly said they are not comfortable with their choice to shut down all internet service, but that they should not passively stand in front of such a possible leak. You know, never minding the amount of business and economic damage you're going to do to the country shutting down the internet for an hour. Not to mention
Algeria. Insane. What kind of business is actually running in Algeria?
I don't know. I just assumed something had to be happening there. Schools proctoring the exams have also been equipped with metal detectors to make sure that no one, including staff, brings any internet-enabled devices into the exam halls. Okay.
If they do that, can't they just leave the internet on? Because I don't know about you guys. I don't have a little, microchip implanted in my brain yet that lets me look at shit and download it to the web.
Well, we know it's coming, so I mean, you know. What's more, Benkhaart said that they will have installed surveillance cameras and phone jammers at the locations where the exams are being printed. Governments take these measures and suggest that widespread cheating, or some variation of that phrase, has occurred in the previous year, but they never provide data and they never mention how effective these internet shutdowns were, CEMEX's Grant Baker told Al Jazeera. CEMEX is an organization advocating for a free and open internet in the Arab world. The Lebanese non-government organization is currently soliciting stories from individuals negatively affected by an exam internet shutdown. It remains to be seen whether an internet or social media blackout will resolve Algeria's alleged exam leaking issue. It will certainly make it more difficult. Kids are creative and have gone to elaborate and impressive measures to treat the system. Over a decade ago, school banned iPods in an attempt to stop exam cheating. This strategy seems laughable now. What happened to, like, just printing out the answers in really tiny text and putting them in a pen?
What happened to shortwave radio-based IP service?
Oh, that still happens. It's just slow. A little Beofong radio, serial port adapter, and you know your laptop, and you're good to go.
There we go. But we need to start shipping these kids some hack RFs.
Yeah, the internet in a suitcase. No. Or, you know, my favorite was the one where you Photoshop a Coke label and print it out and put it on the can so that, you know, it's got the answers for the ingredients.
Yes.
That was a good one. Or, I don't know, just passing the fucking test. Half the time that was easier.
Yeah.
Why bother going to school, dude? Algeria, you're more likely to end up working in the oil industry or natural gas.
Well, that's true.
Sixth largest gas exporter.
If you can get into a good apprenticeship, then hell's yeah.
Yeah, it's fifth largest oil exporter.
I mean, how good can an Algerian school actually be?
Pretty good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm just looking at Wikipedia for Algeria.
Yeah.
They're a upper middle sort of country, oil based. Mainly, they're not in debt to the World Bank. They actually have a surplus.
Huh. Eh, see, I was basing this entirely off Syntax's comment. So,
yeah, they're pretty interesting past. They've been colonized, conquered, brutally beaten, half exterminated. Yeah, they've had their day.
They did talk about going back to a gold standard for their currency.
Yeah.
Wow.
That lasted for about a month and a half, and then someone realized there are central bankers out there that'll shoot you. Wait a minute, that will pay someone to shoot you.
Yeah, well, I stand corrected then.
Out of the countries in that part of the region, they're not doing too bad considering they're in Africa.
In that case, then shutting down the internet could seriously have real economic impact for them. Because there's a lot of business that happens over basic internet connection these days.
Honestly, more than likely what they're doing is they're not shutting down the internet because they want cheating. They're testing if they can actually shut down the internet.
Seeing if their population will stand for it and the like. And see if they can actually do it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, man. I would hesitate to think that this article is a little inaccurate to the point where they'd just be shutting down Wi-Fi that would be in the school.
Well, you know, it's Gizmodo, so I mean, could be.
That's all I'm thinking, man, because it seems a little outrageous that you'd be able to shut down the entire internet just for educational purposes that really don't have any long term outcomes anyway.
Well, it's pretty sensationalist, which is why I grabbed the article in the first place.
That's why I went and had a look at Algeria on Wikipedia, man. I wanted to see what this country is all about.
Yeah, but it's not exactly like, you know, some mud pit country where shutting down the internet connection just means killing the power to the one Wi-Fi adapter, you know?
Yeah, I think it's the article's not written well. I don't want to say it's disingenuous, I'm just saying it may be not written correctly.
probably written by someone who doesn't quite understand how core fabric of countrywide internet works.
To be fair, people who understand that are somewhat more rare than I at one point in my life believed.
Yeah.
I mean, apparently the only person in an IT team of 150 who understands how SSL works. So, I mean, not that I'm bitter. But
an
if you
international
hire
dial-up call-out, I want someone to do that now, Cycross.
Well, actually, might be difficult because most of the POTS systems are still backed by VoIP, and VoIP systems will filter out modem signal.
Yeah.
People actually go to Algeria to learn. They have 80,000 foreign students a year.
Well, if
the education system must be pretty good.
Well, if their education system is a primary export, then actually I could see their government going to some pretty extreme lengths.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, law, medicine, science. They're big exporters for learning.
Yeah, well.
There you go.
User disconnected from your channel.
Bye, Syntax.
Guess he didn't plug that power supply in after all.
That's a degree I think would be hard to export. A law degree? It's somewhat country and cultural specific. Like, Napoleonic law is very different than English common law.
Might be international law, madman.
Okay.
That's just throwing it out there, man. Channel. On that, like, power cable.
Both Australia and America are based on English common law, but a law degree from one of our universities probably wouldn't go too far down under.
Well, no chance, dude.
So, Syntax, did you forget that the Wi-Fi adapter was in use by more than one system? No?
I think he's dead. We'll just pretend he's dead. Push him into the corner and cover him in sawdust.
Damn it.
Just like
too far away to go loot the corpse easily.
Just like half of the damn characters in our D&D games. Anyways.
Only when Balt casts Fireball while we're in the room. Thank you, Balt. Not bitter.
The fact that he managed to pull that off in multiple games that had different settings. It's like, I'm going to build a bomb. What happened? The party just died. Son of a bitch.
Again, still not bitter, Balt. Not at all.
That reminds me, there are podcasts out there that just record people playing their D&D sessions, and apparently they're quite successful.
Yeah. There are some good ones.
Yep. Oh, every time we've tried that, things went off the rails quite quickly. I don't know why. I think it's just how our D&D sessions went. Let's,
I think next news story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello?
Goodbye.
Hey, it's working now. Yeah, so first, yes, I realized that let's just put it as I'm dumb and continue on.
Noted. Next article is from Torrent Freak. BitTorrent is reportedly selling for $140 million. BitTorrent Inc., the parent company behind the popular file-sharing uTorrent, recently made a deal to sell to Justin Sun, the founder of the cryptocurrency Tron. According to new information, Sun has agreed to pay $140 million for the company. While no details have yet been confirmed, a shareholder notes that BitTorrent will in part be used to legitimize Tron's business. They're flat-out saying, this is the integration step.
When you're using BitTorrent to legitimize your business, you have bigger problems.
So, I guess this would be placement, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
This would be placement, and then when the buy goes through, that's integration. Got it. Okay. Now, and for everyone who gets what I'm talking about, I'm sorry you work in the same industry. Let's see. Last month, Torrent Freak broke the news that Justin Sun, the entrepreneur behind the popular cryptocurrency Tron, was in the process of acquiring BitTorrent Inc., the San Francisco-based file-sharing company. Syntax, adjust your fucking mic, confirmed the interest from Sun, and last week sources added that the details of the sale had been finalized. One of the questions that remained unanswered is how much the company is worth. This gap has now been filled by TechCrunch, which reports that Tron's founder agreed to pay $140 million to acquire the company. According to the report, there are still some outside issues regarding the terms of the deal. More than one person claims to have introduced Sun to BitTorrent, which guarantees an extra payout. This is yet to be resolved. It is unclear what Sun's plans for BitTorrent are, but the existing products, including uTorrent, are not expected to go away. According to a shareholder quoted by TechCrunch, one of the plans is to use the acquisition to legitimize Tron's business, which currently has a controversial reputation. This is an interesting goal, as BitTorrent...
Really?
You don't say! Cryptocurrency company with an interesting reputation. I actually had an article on Coinbase I wanted to do, too, until I realized it was nothing but quotes from the Better Business Bureau of people not getting their money back. So, it's like it's an interesting article, but it's impossible to read on air. So it's like, how do you do that? Well, you just don't. I mean, that's what happens, right? So this is an interesting goal, as BitTorrent itself has also dealt with some controversy of its own.
Really?
No. You don't say. The company was previously asked to do more to combat piracy, and a few weeks ago, New Mexico Attorney General Hector Balderas launched an investigation into the links between uTorrent usage and images of child exploitation. Oh, fuck. It's like, somebody used your program for this once. That's a link. Yeah, they probably did, and there's probably lots of it that goes out across torrents. But that's not the fault of... I mean, how many of those people are running Windows? You don't hear them going after Microsoft for it.
There are legitimate companies that use BitTorrent to distribute shit.
Yep.
I can only think of one, but it's still a legitimate company.
Yeah, Cycros has a good point about people using Firefox to look at that kind of shit, too. Chrome, nobody's going after Google for it. So, I just hate that kind of shit. Although I've been wrong about that in the past, where we had the one website that we were kind of trolling at that idea that really it's just people using the website, it's not the people running the company. And then the executives went to jail for it, and it's like, oh, it's like I may have been wrong.
Well, I mean that's a big thing. You always have to be able to say, well, I could be wrong,
and I could be. This is one of the reasons why when we post the show, I post all the links. It's like, yeah, this is where I'm getting it from. If I'm wrong, call me on it, and we'll look at it. So, where were we?
We were at, I think this is more structuring than integration.
Oh, fair point. Okay. While the final details are being worked out, BitTorrent, or Rainberry as it's called now. What? When did
they changed its name?
When did they change
it? And they went with something retarded.
Rainberry. No, it's nice, and it's non-threatening.
Yeah, yeah, it's soothing. It's gender neutral.
Rainberry, as it's called now, has begun hiring new personnel. The company is currently looking for a recruiter to hire new talent, as well as several developers, including a senior iOS engineer. Well, why does it got to be an old guy? I mean, could you get a young iOS engineer?
It's a guy. Could be an old chick.
Could be an old chick. I mean, you know, they just said senior. I mean,
they just need octogenarians.
I might.
They're going with old chicks, so it's less likely to result in a sexual harassment lawsuit.
I might be making that joke because my job title at work now includes senior, and it's like, I'm not that fucking old. Anyways. BitTorrent is currently working on a new iOS app, which will allow users to play videos on their mobile devices. When completed, it will be released on Apple's Play Store. The $140 million acquisition follows a turbulent time for BitTorrent, during which the company was nearly destroyed due to questionable management practices. I just love that. I mean, I'm fairly certain most management is questionable at this point. I mean, it's like, well, Elon Musk is running around the office with a flamethrower. Yeah, I'd call that questionable management practices. I mean, I don't know.
No, those are effective because you know if you fucked up, he's going to come into your office and
burn it.
No,
that's not a flamethrower. That's an employee motivational device.
Yeah.
I felt like working when I saw Bob die. I felt like working a lot. And then it slowly made my way to an exit.
Backwards for some reason.
Why, sure, I'll take that pay cut, boss.
Exactly.
I'm going to go ahead and promote myself to unemployment. And at the same time, none of the new products, services, and business models it developed managed to surpass the early success it had with uTorrent. They didn't write uTorrent. They bought it. Anyways, whether the deal with Tron's founder is a turning point has yet to be seen. Torrent Freak reached out to the company to find out more about its plans, and they did hear back in an update. Without mentioning the acquisition by name, BitTorrent has released the following statement. Our attention has been drawn to the news items that have appeared in the past few weeks speculating about a change in BitTorrent's business model. We wish to reiterate that BitTorrent has no plans to change what we do or charge for the service we provide. We have no plans to enable mining of cryptocurrency now or in the future. It's a very specific call out.
Yeah.
BitTorrent has been a pioneer of peer-to-peer file sharing. We believe our vision of democratizing the web by enabling decentralized, resilient access to information remains as relevant as it was when we started. Yes, Syntax, do you have something to contribute?
No, I'm still playing with my microphone, trying to get it.
Okay.
Good news. There were a lot of zeros on this check we received. We are happy.
Well, and really, they're like, well, we have no plans right now until that check clears. Yeah. Then all bets are off.
Yeah.
Well, upper management changes once that check clears.
Exactly.
Yep.
Really, we just called this guy in to write this sketchy article just so we, you know, remain relevant. Slightly. Even if sketchy.
Kind of. So... Sorry. The next article is from Engadget, and it you know, I don't do the whole titling the news stories, but if I did, we'd call this one No Shit Sherlock News. A smattering of PC games are tracking where you go and what you do on the internet when you aren't playing. Reddit sleuths have discovered that games including Civilization 6, Elder Scrolls Online, Kerbal Space Program, Hunt Shadow, and Warhammer Vermintide 2 include a tracker called Red Shell. Essentially, it's software that, if installed, discerns whether you are exposed to the marketing campaign for the game you're playing, and if said campaign led you to purchasing the game. Apparently, it's super effective, with Red Shell boasting a 98% accuracy rating. That's why are you reading their marketing material? That's all that is. That's a marketing... Go on any Web 2.0 or new technology or, like, I guess containerization would be the one now. They all claim amazing numbers of accuracy and improvement. and almost none of them were borne out through actual data. In an FAQ section of Red Shell's website, written to developers, it says the following: all data we collect is yours. We only use it for attribution. We do not aggregate, distribute, or sell any data. Under another query, it says, we do not collect any personal information about your players. We only collect and store information about their browsers and computers for purposes of attribution. Well, I don't know. There's a lot of personal information in people's browsers and computers. It's like, no, we're not collecting the children in the backseat of the car. We're just stealing the upholstery. The children just happen to be attached.
We're collecting the data for you. Even though you didn't ask for it. We're putting all this money into fucking R&D just for you, even though you didn't need it.
I already know what porn I'm looking at. I'm the one looking at it. You don't need to tell me.
Well, and, it's Madman. It's all about the customer.
Well, see, Madman, this is where
really
you get
easy to stop this. You just start blocking ports.
That doesn't go into enough detail about the app to tell you if that'll work or not. I was going to make a joke at Madman's expense about Weeboo Game showing up in his Steam feed, though, so we'll just assume it was a fantastic joke and move on. let's see. It's tracking tracking your digital fingerprint, the same thing Apple is fighting against others as well, with an update to its Safari web browser. In fact, when you go into the Red Shell pricing page, again with a sales pitch to game developers, you're offered the option to opt in to let your data be used for analytics, live support, and marketing. You can decline all of these, but not necessary cookies that enable core functionality. It says the website cannot function properly without the use of these cookies, and it will only be disabled by changing your browser preferences. As you imagine, the Reddit thread that discovered the software isn't keen on the company's practices or explanations, mostly because this isn't an opt-in measure. That's despite the tracker being pretty low in the list of nefarious software. Many developers with titles on the list have announced they're removing Red Shell from their games, in addition to saying Red Shell wasn't spyware, but advertising analytics software. Advertising analytics, wouldn't that just be a fancy way of saying spyware?
Yeah.
That wasn't a taser. That was an employee motivational device. All in told,
it's not a dead hooker in my closet. That's a woman of negotiable affection. May also be dead.
A former woman negotiable affection. Now it's actually just a pile of spare parts until it gets a little too cold, and at which point it'll just be waste.
Madman, call it for what it is: a fuck puppet. When it's no longer breathing, it's a fuck puppet.
Damn, that's kind of dark.
Your word for the week, kids. See if you can work it in at the dinner table with Mum.
I'm just envisioning, but
he pitched it.
I'm envisioning the Galaxy 15 word a day calendar with Fuck Puppet being, right there in the middle of summer.
Morphs, I've got $10 if you can work that into a dinner conversation with your family.
So wait, is that close to
hey, guess what phrase
Muppet?
I heard today? hey, little old to ask your parents for the talk, but I heard this thing called a fuck puppet. What's that?
Oh, okay, man. But yes, Red Shell is spyware.
Yeah, back to it.
Many developers, all told, Reddit discovered there were over 50 games with Red Shell installed. In a statement to Kotaku, Red Shell said it collects the minimum amount of data necessary to do attribution. Our customers rely on us to tell them which activities they're engaged in, different ad campaigns, are working and which ones aren't. Adam Lieb said, any information that doesn't help us make those matches, we don't collect. But
you would need to collect everything to filter out what you needed and then delete it.
Yeah.
Isn't that the way this works? I mean, I could be wrong. I'm not the computer guy in the room. Just thinking, you look at all the shit, you look for patterns, see which patterns are following, and then delete everything that's not in that pattern.
Yeah.
You don't have the info, you can't put the connections with the info.
Yeah. Yeah, that's basically it. And once something has been collected, it can be stolen.
And that's the real problem, right? Again, I like using this as an example. Think back to when Radio Shack went out of business. One of the first things they sold off was their customer list. Because for years, they had been asking people for their address and phone number and zip code whenever you bought batteries at fucking Radio Shack. And I always got in an argument with them. I was like, I'm not giving you that information to buy batteries. Well, you can't buy anything if you don't give us that information. I put the batteries on the counter and left.
It's like, I just gave them wrong information all the time.
So, yeah, I didn't think about that. I'm more just
when
objecting
you learn
the principle of it.
The zip code and area code for American Samoa, and you just give them that, it really fucks with their analytics.
Of course, I suppose in this day and age, you had a, you know, you could look up the people who work in there, go on PIPL. I guess that's not, is that one still a thing? I haven't looked at it lately.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I was on it today.
Give them their own home address back to the person asking you. Of course, Radio Shack is long defunct. But yeah, that's the first thing they did was that customer list that was only supposed to be used for, you know, sending you coupons and doing analytics. Yeah, that's the first thing they sold. What do you think happened with that?
Of course it was.
That's on every major marketer's mailing list now. And, I mean, you know, fuck, you look at the amount of data that Facebook is collecting. When Facebook goes the way of MySpace, what do you think is going to happen with all that contact information? The moment they start thinking that they're no longer profitable, what do you think is going to happen with all that shit?
It's one of the assets they liquidate.
Absolutely. So, even if the company you're working with today is a good actor, and I'm not saying Facebook is, but, you know, even if the you think they are, you know, like it's Steam or something, because Steam's got a pretty good reputation for this kind of shit, the moment that company's not doing well anymore, especially if it's publicly traded, you know what's going to happen. That data is one going to go up for sale, and any prior agreements, because you notice almost all of their end-user agreements say something along the lines of, we can alter this whenever the hell we want. You know, without notice, yep, and all that other stuff, and yeah, they'll just go update that so the same. Yeah, we can tell that was share that with third party providers, and then the next thing you know, boom, it's out there. I'm sorry, you didn't opt out in time from the updated terms and service. Well, how would you have opted out? Well, you had to send a letter, registered mail, to our post office box in Uruguay. Yeah,
because people still use fucking mail.
Anyways, next article is from The Verge. For months, police across the country have been using a device called a gray key to unlock dormant iPhones, using an undisclosed technique to sidestep Apple's default disk encryption. These devices are currently in use in at least 5 states and 5 federal agencies, seen as a breakthrough in collecting evidence from encrypted devices. But according to a new Reuters report, Apple is planning to release a new featured iOS that would make these devices useless in the majority of cases, potentially sparking a return to the encryption standoff between law enforcement and device manufacturers. Under the new feature, iPhones will cut off all communication through the USB port if they have not been unlocked in the past hour. Actually, that's a really good idea. They should do that anyways. Once the hour expires, the USB port can only be used to charge the device. The result will give police an extremely short window of time to exploit the gray key devices successfully. Well, if you really care about the security of your mobile devices, don't use a fingerprint or photo unlock. Make sure it's a long passcode, because they'll just grab your hand and hold it to the fingerprint unlock.
And it's legal.
Yeah, a lot of times it is. I mean, hell, they broke into a funeral to try that shit. The feature, called USB Restricted Mode, has been present in developer betas for both iOS 12 and 11.4.1. But this is the first indication that is slated for public release. According to The Verge, Apple... Speaking to The Verge, I was about to say, why the hell are they quoting themselves? Speaking to The Verge, Apple declined to confirm that the USB restriction mode would be present in iOS 12. According to a Malwarebytes report published in March, GrayKey works by installing some kind of low-level software through the iPhone's Lightning port. After plugging into the GrayKey device briefly, the target iPhone will continue to run the GrayKey software on its own, displaying the device's passcode on screen between 2 hours and 3 days after the software is installed. So in other words, they're hijacking and doing a brute force on the key until they actually manage to crack it, and they're disabling whatever mechanism would cause the phone to permanently lock itself out after so many bad tries.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. We talked about Gray Key on the show.
Probably. I've drank since then.
Oh.
So
yes, we 100% have.
I'm not disputing it. I just don't remember the details. While politically sensitive, the change will close off an entire class of attacks through the iPhone's Lightning port, including attacks that copy Gray Key's techniques. Apple described the change as a general security update rather than a response to law enforcement specifically. We're constantly strengthening the security protections in every Apple product to help customers defend against hackers, identity thieves, and intrusions into their personal data, an Apple representative said in a statement. We have the greatest respect for law enforcement, and we do not design our security improvements to frustrate their efforts to do their jobs. And then there was an update on June the 13th. USB restricted mode and USB-C were conflated in areas throughout the article. The article has been updated to correct this. So apparently they were just saying USB-C at some point. And the rumor was that apparently the next iPhone will use USB-C, which is nice because, my God, everyone's actually going to be using a standard phone or standard connector for a bit. That'll last, what, 15 minutes? 20?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll
and then
be...
there'll be a new feature.
Nah, yeah. I think it might last a bit longer.
It's going to be a single iteration for Apple until Apple decides, oh, look, we have something new.
No, you know what exciting. It's going to be? Because they finally added wireless charging to the iPhone line, they're just going to remove the port entirely. It's like, no, there's no data port anymore. You connect to it over Bluetooth, and you charge it wirelessly. And they already got rid of the headphone jack. I mean, that's the model.
Yeah. All the more reason to not buy Apple products.
I don't know. I do like the security features they're installing. I'm going to have to give them kudos on that.
So, I'll say this. iPhones and iPads, mostly they're fine. I would not buy a new Mac. Secondhand, or if you're doing a Hackintosh, cool. But, for what they charge for their hardware, I just can't justify recommending one of those things. Not to mention, a lot of their current hardware has amazing problems. You know, go watch some of the YouTube videos on having to repair MacBooks. Apparently, there's all kinds of issues with them nowadays. So, but I don't know. Maybe that's just, you know, the self-selecting, because you always hear the worst of the worst on the internet. But apparently they're like the previous generation MacBooks are still selling quite well because the new ones have issues.
Wow.
So
that's telling you something there, isn't it?
Well, what it's telling you is they're focusing on their mobile line, not their laptops and desktops anymore.
Well, it's the biggest selling thing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. They make some amazing amounts of money. So, and like I said, I don't really have any kind of a problem with iPhones or iPads. Yeah, I mean, I joke about how much they monitor, but I don't think they're as bad as they could be. They're certainly not as bad as Facebook. That's the real trick, is you don't install Facebook or some of this other shit on your phone. Doesn't matter if you're iPhone or Android. You know.
Yeah.
You know. So.
I still haven't turned my mobile phone on yet, Morbs.
Well, are you? You happen to be an exception to how most of us work. Although you'll like something I have in Digital Dojo. So
it's funny the judge said that too.
Well, unlike the quote from Fight Club, I guess you are a unique snowflake, are you?
I've achieved.
Okay. How about we go on to a story that RU sent me? This is from the BBC. And it's titled Musk's Fury, Whistleblower or Saboteur. Tesla describes former employee Martin Tripp as a criminal, a man who hacked into Tesla's systems in order to steal information and sully the company's reputation on safety.
If he's allowed access to it, he didn't hack it.
Yeah, I'm like,
copy shit onto a thumb drive. I'm allowed to have. I didn't hack the system. I just narked the shit out of my boss.
Yeah, was this like a registered pen test?
No, this is apparently some guy who worked on a factory line. Because of this, the company is suing him for $1 million. Oh, hang on, $1 million. Yeah, I couldn't help that. Anyways, I mean, come on, it's literally an Austin Powers joke in the article. But Mr. Tripp, Marty to his friends, really? Yeah, why would you put that in there? Just okay,
because
stop.
Why
would you put that in there?
Because they're trying to make Marty look more human so that we will sympathize with Marty.
Why? Is he like Zuckerberg? Really, does he resemble Data? I mean, do we need to humanize him?
Marty could be a big old shitbag. We don't know.
But now we want to be his friend because we know his friend's name for him. And
exactly.
It's not shitbag.
Yeah. It's not like...
No, it's Captain Shitbag. Mr. Tripp, Marty to his friends, says he's a whistleblower being smeared for speaking out about standards and safety at the company and deserves protection. He says he was shit.
Okay. Usually when someone self-labels themselves, usually is anything, they're a shitbag, but when they label themselves a whistleblower, that's getting to new levels of, like, you know, douchiness.
Depends on how he did it. Did he just go straight to the New York Times, or did he report this to the regulatory agency and responsible for governing Tesla?
So let's keep going. He says he was sharing details of what he claims is a huge amount of raw material waste at the company and concerns about battery safety. In documents filed to a Nevada district court on Wednesday, Tesla painted Mr. Tripp as a disgruntled former employee, a man who had wanted a promotion from his job as a process technician, a role he had been in since October of 2017. He was based at the company's enormous Gigafactory battery plant near Reno, Nevada. Tripp retaliated against Tesla by stealing confidential and trade secret information and disclosing it to third parties. And by third parties, I'm assuming that would mean newspapers. And by making false statements intended to harm the company, the court documents allege, adding Mr. Tripp admitted some of the accusations when confronted. Go ahead.
He's a douchebag.
Yeah.
Like right there, that he maliciously stole data, which he probably took out of context. So when he started spouting bullshit, I think they have a case. Two, yeah, I think he's probably a dick.
So, yeah, unfortunately, a lot of the articles focused on an email chain between this guy and Elon Musk and not what he actually blew the whistle on. So I'm trying to see if I can parse through it here. You're a horrible human being, the head of Tesla, Elon Musk, wrote in a tense email exchange between himself and Mr. Tripp, seen by BBC News. So I'm guessing Tripp is sharing his emails with BBC News.
Now, the question is, can we confirm that these were actually sent from Elon Musk?
No, because they just have text copies down at the bottom of the article that we're not going to read.
Because I'm like, I can send that dude an email from that email address now.
Yeah, a little Python script to generate whatever email you want is pretty easy. Let's say the exchange began with Mr. Tripp saying you have what's coming to you for the lies you have told the public and investors. And then, okay, let's skip some of this bullshit. It's all drama. Among the details Mr. Tripp says he shared as a whistleblower to a reporter at Business Insider is an allegation that punctured batteries had made their ways into Tesla's cars. Tesla has strongly denied the claim. The row took a bizarre twist late on Wednesday night when Tesla said it had received a credible threat from a friend of Mr. Tripp that Mr. Tripp was coming to the Gigafactory to shoot up the place. The company said police have been notified and actions taken to enhance the security at the Gigafactory. Local police later said after several hours of investigation, they found there to be no credible threat. The rest of it is just tweets back and forth on what Tesla's planning on doing. Why does this sound like a high school Facebook bitch fight fest that has, you know, resulted to somebody swatting?
Yeah, yeah, it really does. So I don't know if y'all know much about these lithium polymer batteries.
Well, I know the Tesla batteries are stacks of 18650s. And if
yeah,
I'm thinking if you had one punctured maybe in the middle of the battery pack, that you might be able to get away with the thing going out the door. But Suave and I were talking about this earlier. These things, these things, when charged up and exposed to oxygen, tend to vent rather violently.
Yeah. So, like the lithium ion, I'm sorry, the lithium polymer batteries we use in drones can, like, even when they get slightly punctured, they burst into flames.
Oh, yeah.
They're using lithium ion batteries, which are even more volatile, which is why they have, they're heavier. It's why we don't use them in RC stuff, because they have to have a thicker casing around them. If there's one that's punctured, it's going to violently catch fire. Like, these, they used to use these lithium polymer batteries in airplanes for a very short amount of time, because when one would either overcharge or get punctured or something, a battery that was 1 foot, you know, cubed would blow the tail off of an airplane.
I believe it. I tell you, I have a little racing drone I've been working on, and I'm terrible at flying it. But I was showing it off with some of the guys that I work with, and I let a few of them fly it. And they flew it till the battery couldn't keep the thing in the air anymore. And I stupidly did not have a battery alarm on it, so this is kind of my fault. But we get the drone down. You know, we go get the drone because it didn't have the power to come back. And I pull the battery off to go put the other one on it, and it's boiling. Like, you know, you feel the battery boiling in the casing. That thing got thrown across the field quickly. Turns out it did not go up in flames. We thought it would. It did inflate a little bit. It instead got written on as bad, you know, in Sharpie in multiple layers, overcharged or over-discharged, and taken to a battery recycling center because I wasn't about to fucking use that thing again.
No.
Yeah. 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 So I have a little bit of experience with the batteries that they use in the Teslas and stuff doing.
I used to work with a guy who liked to build his own vapes using 18650 batteries.
Oh.
And he managed to vent one in his face.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen one take out like six teeth on a dude.
It didn't explode, it just vented, but yeah, that vape apparently cost him quite a bit of money to build, and it got flung across the room into a wall.
Yeah. No, those 18650 batteries are no joke. Like, they will explode.
Hey,
violently.
Everybody, guess what kind of battery cells are in your laptop batteries? At least the older ones.
Yeah, the older ones are that. The newer ones are the lithium polymer batteries.
Yeah.
You know what's really funny is a lot of the early smartwatches, the Moto 360 and the first-gen Samsung Watch, first-gen Apple Watch,
yeah,
didn't have overvoltage protection on their batteries, and they would swell and pop the backs off and possibly burst into flames while it's attached with a metal ring to your wrist.
Well, hell, we did the story of there were multiple people who had iPods catch fire in their pockets. So, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, same thing.
But
moral
you, you
of the
sent
story.
Me this, you sent me this story. Was there something you wanted to talk about specifically with it, or?
No, no, really, man. I just thought it was an interesting story floating around, because I haven't seen anything actually nailed down whether this guy is a good guy or is he a bad guy. Are they fucking with batteries? Are they putting unsafe batteries in these cars? Maybe you should be given a pre-warning when you buy one. Hey, you're sitting on a bomb. Because when you crash these things and the battery cells rupture, you want to hope you can get out of that car quick.
Yeah, no shit.
Yes. Yeah. So until details come out about what this guy actually blew the whistle on, I don't think make a judgment call just yet. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I mean, Musk is treated like a a rock star or a god for some reason with the media. We'll see what happens, man.
Well, let's try an experiment. Let's try an experiment here. I want to see something because I had this pointed out to me and I can now no longer not notice it. In any picture of Elon Musk you see, is he wearing a toupee?
God damn it. What has been unseen?
Oh, is he? I don't know. Hold on. I'm now doing a Google image search.
It looks like he is.
Well, when it comes to calling this dude a whistleblower, I just want to know, who did he report to?
Washington.
If he's reporting to newspapers, that's not a whistleblower. If he's reporting to the EPA, because this could be an environmental thing, if he's reporting to the consumer no, that's for finance.
It sounds like he went straight to Washington Post.
Then, yeah, he's not a whistleblower.
I don't think it's a toupee.
I don't care if it is. I think it's hair transplant.
You think it's plugs?
I don't care either way.
Yeah.
I just had it pointed out to me the other day, and I'm like, oh, fuck, it might be.
I've just got more of a suspicion that Elon Musk is the greatest fraud of our time.
Or a Bond villain.
Yeah. Well, we've discussed this before. That's mainly, I just want to, put that story out there that, is this guy a whistleblower? Are the cars unsafe? Because they've just sucked his dick for so long. He could be building absolute shit and no one would know.
When Suave and I were talking about this earlier, it's like, he was like, well, they wouldn't put these batteries out like this. Surely they're checking them. I'm like, are they? That's the assumption, isn't it?
that's what I mean. Are they? And for all the money that the American government seemed to have given him, I'd be pretty pissed off that his new plant is now being built in China. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I think that probably should be an American company, considering it's American taxpayer dollars. Just saying.
I'm just wondering how long before he's out of China and China has Elon Musk. You build factory here. We need to know your intellectual properties. It's full of fried rice. It's very good.
Oh, fuck.
And you'd be buying a Smezla on the black market.
It's a Tessile.
Those ones will definitely have sketchy batteries. They'll just have like racks and racks of lead acid batteries in the back.
No. We finally found use for all these old Surefire 18650s. I don't know why I think they talk like that. That's obviously not a Chinese accent.
They're importing Russian labor.
I don't know where that came from. I'm sorry, kind of.
But yeah, I think. There's not enough scrutiny of the safety of Elon Musk's cars, because when they do explode or catch fire or something, he's like, and it had nothing to do with the self-drive system or the batteries. It was completely driver error, and this shit happens
all the
time.
They show him chasing people with a flamethrower. I don't think there's enough scrutiny of Elon Musk himself. So,
yeah.
Well, I mean, if it gets, if the feds come on too strong, like, they know that he's just gonna get on a rocket and leave.
That's fine. He can't carry enough food to sustain him for more than what, a couple of years, by then he can't return to Earth because he's lost too much muscle and bone mass. Bye, Elon.
Evil cryogenic crate.
How do we know that he hasn't been like secretly launching things up? Like, he's going to have an entire base on Mars before anyone ever knows it. He's just going to be like, deuces, I'm out.
I'm fine with people self-exiling.
Yeah. But I think we've touched on this before. Just remember, Elon Musk has a brother. Imagine being Elon Musk's brother. So, what do you do? Yeah. What's your name? I'm Bob Musk. Oh, any relation to Elon? Yeah, he's my brother. Fuck, how dejected would you be?
Well, didn't he give him a job running Solar City for a while?
No, I think his brother's self-made. He's a doctor or something.
Oh, okay.
So speaking of people whose parents are probably embarrassed of them, let's move on to this other article that RU sent me. It's from abc.news.au.
I see what you did there.
This guy's name, man. Biohacker Meow Ludo Disco Gamma Meow Meow. I'm not making it up. That's what the article says.
That can't be his real name.
Meow Ludo.
He's a millennial.
Disco Gamma Meow Meow, who was fined for implanting an opal card chip into his hand, has had his conviction overturned. Mr. Meow Meow. My God, why does that sound like something right out of 4chan? I mean, yo, does he have a pony t-shirt on? No, well, not in these pictures, but you can't really tell. So
I'll see if I can find one.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm putting his name into the Google.
Mr. Meow Meow, 33, pleaded guilty to using public transport without a valid ticket and for not producing a ticket to transport officers. In March, he was fined $220 for breaching the opal card terms of use and was ordered to pay $1,000 in legal costs. Mr. Meow Meow appealed against the conviction in the district court, and today it was quashed. The district court judge, Dina Yeehaw. I'm sorry?
Let's just go Yeehaw.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw sounds much better.
Dina Yeehaw took into account his good character while describing the case as highly unusual, involving unique set of circumstances. Mainly just this guy's name. I'd say that right there is a unique set of circumstances.
How do you know he has good character? I mean, I've known some of you people for years, and I'm questioning whether or not I know whether you have good character.
She said that while there were legal issues of general deterrence, she was of the view that the objective seriousness of the offense fell towards the lower end of the range, if not the bottom. Judge Yeehaw said Mr. Meow Meow had not tampered with the opal card in order to avoid paying the fine. She acknowledged that he had no prior convictions and so directed the conviction to be set aside. However, Judge Yeehaw upheld the court costs. Outside of court, Mr. Meow Meow said he was pleased with the outcome. He said he did not encourage anyone else to implant the opal card chip into their skin. Mr. Meow Meow said he would not do it again without permission from Transport New South Wales.
I just thought it was fucking hilarious that they were fining him for biohacking.
He took the little chip, he took the little magnetic chip out of one of those cards and implanted it in his hand.
It's RFID, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, that's how overreaching a nanny state this shit is. He wasn't avoiding fares, he was paying everything, he just decided to modify something that was, he'd paid for his own, really, he was making his life easier.
I was going with shits and giggles.
Yeah, so I know a guy.
I'm just thinking you have that much of a nanny state, and yet you still let this guy take the name of Meow Ludo Disco Gamma Meow Meow.
That's
so,
a good
so
point.
I mean, when Germany was setting up their nanny state, they didn't let people take bullshit names like that. They had a list of approved names. That's probably not a good example, is it?
No.
Okay, so just for all you kiddies out there, maybe not put all your shit online. It did not take me that long to find a picture of this in all his glory.
Oh, yeah.
I'm afraid.
So...
So
I know a guy.
Yep,
oh,
you're
yeah,
right.
That is amazing. I know a guy who has, it's kind of like a prox card for entering his apartment building that he has, he found an insertable that he inserted into his forearm. So he doesn't have to have the prox card anymore. He just walks up and puts his arm up.
Syntax, now, when I hear you say the word insertable, I don't think something that you're going to be injecting. I don't know why.
Well, that's, I mean, to be fair, it is me. But so come to find out, after he put this little RFID capsule in his skin, he walked by other doors and they would unlock because most of these ingress control systems are still all set to default. So if you have a prox card
they open.
Just go swipe it on everything.
Yeah,
you'd
I believe
be surprised it. How much shit it opens.
Brock's cards are $2 bucks a piece on eBay if you're bored, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, you can get the long range readers for about 100 that with a little bit of, you know, putting some of these old Tesla batteries in and a little bit of rewiring, you now have a cloner.
Yep. Yeah. Just make sure it works on the same frequency and protocols as the Brock's cards that you're trying to clone, and you're good. Yeah. I've seen several of these cheap cloner kits that only did a handful of the ranges, and it's just like, damn it, not enough.
Yeah. The one I have uses a Raspberry Pi, so it's like you can put in what you want it to use.
Yeah, you just need the software to support it. Because a lot of the time the readers will read it, that's just the data they get back, nothing knows how to decode.
Yeah. So there's it's on GitHub, the code.
Neat.
Or Microsoft GitHub now.
Go ahead.
I just want to say modern art isn't, and we're so far from the singularity that guy's not going to be alive when it happens.
Nice. Were you trying to interject there? I wasn't sure.
No, I'm good, man.
All right, let's do this last one here. This is from Gizmodo, so questionable reporting. Ho! China's anti-porn task force is banning ASMR videos. Can I admit I never got the point of these things?
What is an AMS? I don't even know what this video format is.
So it's like somebody, usually it's a chick, but somebody on YouTube will be sitting there making these very soft noises. You know, whether it's whispering or like music at a super low volume or something repetitively and clicking or, you know, they're clickers. They're just video
clickers.
Autonomous
sensory meridian response.
Yeah.
It's supposed to make you feel good and help you sleep.
The Chinese government's anti-pornography office, the fact that they have an anti-pornography office in the Chinese government is amusing. Announced earlier this month that video streaming services in the nation need to thoroughly clean up vulgar and pornographic ASMR content. And while the agency called for a crackdown specifically on content that is vulgar or sexual in nature, many of China's leading video hosting sites have scrubbed all ASMR videos. ASMR, which stands for Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response, became somewhat of an internet phenomenon over the last few years. Can you tell I've finished off my whiskey, by the way? The genre of video features soft sounds intended to soothe listeners. While some ASMR content is inherently erotic, there's a large library of these videos that are hardly suggestive. A research paper on the phenomenon published in March 2015 indicated that only 5% of participants said they used ASMR for sexual simulation. Somebody whispering in a microphone for...
That's basically the same percentage of what anything can be used for sexual stimulation.
I will yield to your unending experience in this field.
I'm going to have to contest that. There's some things with a smaller percentage than 5.
Well, yeah, but there's other things that are larger. I'm saying...
Okay.
You know, the average, I would imagine, any one specific weird thing, you'll get about 5%, I would imagine.
So, with 82% reporting that they use it as a sleep aid, and 70% suggesting they use it as a stress aid. Stress aid? I don't...
There's some overlap there.
Yeah, I'm like, those two numbers don't add up.
Rather than eliminating only sexually suggestive videos, as China's anti-porn task force seemingly called for, the video services got rid of them all, searching for ASMR on U.S. platforms of Youku, Bilibili, and Douyu. I'm probably not pronouncing these names right. Yields no results. Inkstone News reported that when you search for ASMR on Chinese website Miss Even, it states that the results can't be shown since they may involve content that violates relevant laws, regulations, and policies. Wow. Okay. ASMR was banned. It is now considered sexual to eat something. How will I sleep now? A user wrote on Weibo on Sunday, The Verge reported. However, it looks like there may already be a workaround to the sweeping ASMR ban. As Inkscum pointed out, users may be able to circumvent it by adding a space between the AS, M, and R. There are also plenty of ASMR videos on a Weibo page dedicated to the jump subgenre.
All you do is force it underground if you ban it.
Yeah.
And some of the ASMR stuff is weird and makes me want to punch whatever is playing on it. Because so the it's now illegal to eat something comment. That's one of the ASMR things. Like the sound of someone eating something.
I don't know about you guys, but I find the sound of someone eating something usually to be kind of gross.
Yeah, yeah. It makes me want to punch them. But some people really like that. Yeah, it's...
Wow. I'm over on Bilbil, or whatever the fuck it is. Yeah, this is going to take some getting used to. I can't tell if my ad blocker is working or not. That's how chaotic this shit is. What
Which
do these
one
people
is it?
Have fucking... I'll send you a link, man.
Fuck yeah.
Hell. Check this shit out. These people have got super high IQs. I can't figure out what the fuck's going on.
That's because Holy it's in another shit. Language, are you?
I just need Jesus. To be higher, dude. I just need is to it? Smoke more and I'll understand it.
I completely Although, understand.
Some of this 3D rendered anime shit looks like it still might violate the rules for pornographic content.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Let me see if I can find a translator for this.
Probably should have had a translator when it went from Google.
So I'm going to go ahead and throw that link in the IRC, but it's not going in the show notes. People can figure that one out on their own. That said, let's do this. Got two things for you tonight in Digital Dojo. The first of all, that whiskey's a little stronger than I'm used to. First of all, I have a YouTube video, which is an interview with Jason Lanier, who's been around forever. He worked at Atari. He works at Microsoft Research now. Apparently, he was involved in social media at some point. And the interview is an interview with Channel 4, I think BBC. And he has some political opinions in there, but the explanation he gives of how social networks work is fantastic. So I'd already posted that. So it's about a 21-minute video. It's absolutely worth listening to. And it is one of these interview videos where you can just start the video and go like play a game or something and just listen to it. You don't need to see the video. There's no presentation there. It's just him talking. And I've never understood dreads on a white man. So I'm just going to point that out. But anyways, it's an excellent interview to listen to. And I don't know that I agree with him on everything there. Because like I said, especially because he gets into some political viewpoints. But his just explanation of the feedback loop of social media and the subtle manipulation they're doing, it's fantastic. Absolutely some good stuff in there. And the final thing I have is a Reddit thread, which links to an interesting little toolkit called MSMG, and explains how to build a Windows 10 ISO that does not have telemetry, metro apps, biometrics, Skype, Cortana, all the weird-ass search shit. All the Xbox crap. So if you want to build a minimal Windows 10 that doesn't have all the Metro crap in it, this is a way of stripping all that out without having to buy the Windows Lite or whatever the software package is that'll let you go through and check a bunch of that stuff.
The question is, when they do one of these big quarterly or
Pretty sure most
updates.
Of the stuff comes back in on that, because I've noticed the soundboard and broadcast box is giving me advertisements for Microsoft products, even though all this shit was disabled at install time.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure they're just re-pushing updates out to that kind of crap. And
so when you use Google Translate on that webpage,
yeah,
it falls over.
I wouldn't surprise
me. Yeah, Google's
me.
Like, fuck this.
Yeah. Well, no, it just redirects you to a 404.
It
starts to translate
Google
it.
Google has some agreements with the Chinese government. I wonder if this is one of the pages that they agreed not to mess with.
Oh, that could be it. Yeah, because it started the translation, and then you just get 404'd.
Okay, so I've put in all three of these platforms now. I'm looking at them, and the last one looks to be like a Chinese Twitch streaming service.
Oh.
The first two are just YouTube clones.
Yeah.
And the second one, the third one seems to be...
Let me see if I can
run Adobe Flash on a Chinese page that I cannot read. Yeah, the fuck
no.
Right. Yeah, we're not doing that.
I do have a virtual machine spun up still.
There you go. Oh, look, it's just like Twitch. There's some chick wearing a dress, there's some chick, and there's some dude in a ninja mask. Okay, yeah. They're all playing League of Legends.
That's it.
Or PUBG. I see a lot of PUBG.
Amazingly enough, scrolling down, I don't see a lot of Minecraft. I would have expected to see more Minecraft.
Maybe it's finished like it is here.
Hmm.
The could West. Like, there's not that much Minecraft anymore.
So
maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. I haven't been following
this shit.
The only
problem with the VM I have now is I have no login credentials.
Wrong sound effect. There you go.
Both of them worked.
So let's see. That's all I've got for tonight. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Decking every Thursday. Mostly every Thursday. I thought I was going to put the show on the hiatus, but I am not. Might be regretting that, but I took tomorrow off so I can at least sleep in. The Galaxy 15 radio site and the subreddit, probably the best way to get feedback. In the IRC tonight, me, Sardonyx, Psychros, Iron Angel, Madman, and the Real Syntax. Madman, closing thoughts.
Steam really has gone downhill on its sales. I've only found two things, and they're both still older games.
Yeah, there's literally nothing in there I'm interested in, man. I'm like, okay, they're having the summer sale. So the fuck what?
I'm thinking Everspace might be cool.
Maybe.
Just play Elite Dangerous. It's better.
I like Elite Dangerous.
So do I. It's really good.
Are you? Closing thoughts.
Yeah. just yeah. What a week in news, man. What a week for any of those who follow it. Yeah. Tune in next week for season whatever we're on.
We're doing seasons now? Fuck. All right. You know, after what, 8 years, we're going to start season two.
Or well, season 47.
Watching the documentary of the Syrian war, it felt like a recap of the war. You know, we finished this war, on to the next one. Let's recap it. Here's the highlights.
It's like an anime where they do a clip episode.
Yeah, it was like an hour and a half highlight of a war. I'm like, that is pretty fucking awesome where we're at with tech now with the battlefield, that you can watch a highlight reel of the war. Like, in full, you know, high definition. And dudes dropping in front of you. Yeah, it was an amazing...
So we need that footage paired with one of those 1920s news announcers.
Oh, the guy speaking Russian over it. He is like a 1930s announcer. It's pretty interesting. it is exactly. It's an hour and a half newsreel, pretty much. Yeah.
All right, Syntax. Closing thoughts.
Someone's going to take a random phone booth in the middle of the desert and parse all of the data that's coming into it into an IRC and then pour all of that into Signal so that you can have long distance IRC chat through a payphone on your cell.
All right, I'm confused. Because I don't know what that gets you.
Anyway. He's bored and found a phone booth still functional somewhere. That's what this is. That's what he just said. It was just a really long way of saying that.
Yes.
All right. That's
it's a little like someone saying, "Dude, you should totally get into like long band UHF so we can talk to each other." <it's>, yeah. Just saying.
If I got into amateur radio today, it'd be for the data channels, because I don't know that I have much interest in talking to crippled old men, because that seems to be mostly what's on.
Dude, I think it's totally cool, man. I just, yeah, I'm not spending thousands of dollars to when I could just jump in TeamSpeak. You know what I mean?
Yep. But it's like, yeah, it only needs a 20-foot antenna in your backyard. Wait, what?
Are we not getting Sard without him being around? Because I completely missed the memo.
I am totally not knocking it. I think it's a totally cool fucking thing to get into. It's just not my thing. And I'm not knocking it. I'm just sort of saying it's current year, dude.
I'm not knocking it. I'm just asking why.
Yeah. And it's probably good that he doesn't have a lot of neighbors, because that antenna is going to really fuck with the whole Wi-Fi system around there. I was reading some stuff about it, and some dudes are really pissed off when their neighbors put big antennas up.
Feel sorry for anybody who happens to have an unshielded stereo system.
Yeah, right?
It's like, I finally finished my vintage 1970s, you know, amplifier, receiver, and stereo system. What the fuck is all this noise?
Yeah, my quadraphonic hi-fi from fucking 19, you know, valve and tube. I finally rebuilt it.
Yep, the cell phone networks say what? All right.
But once again, not knocking it, think it's cool. I'm just like, it's outdated for me.
All right, I'm going to play the Pac-Man sound and take us off air.